Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love how the readings tie together on certain Sundays, and they often do. But if you look at the New Testament lesson, the Gospel lesson, and the Old Testament lesson, and the Psalm, you're going to find one word, actually, that would link all three of those together. Anybody happen to know what that word is? Anybody see that? It starts with a B. It's the word blessed. You'll see that in the New Testament. The Gospel lesson is Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes in Luke. And then in the Old Testament, blessed is the man, and it describes that person like a tree. And then also Psalm 1, which I'd like to preach on today, also speaks about the one who is blessed. Now, that word blessed can have a connotation of different things depending on the context. Any of you ever remember, if you've seen Twitter or the internet, a hashtag blessed? Anybody remember the hashtag blessed thing? I'll explain for those of you that don't do Twitter, and I don't either. But hashtag blessed was a thing so that people could use photographs or paragraphs, and when they added that little tagline, hashtag blessed, it would show up on people's internet feeds. So people might take a picture of themselves next to a big giant chocolate bar and say, hashtag blessed, or next to a beautiful sunset, or maybe they've gotten a promotion or something really positive in their life has happened. Now, it could be kind of amusing as you see what people would put as they considered themselves to be blessed. Now, we often associate blessedness with an increase of something, of health, wealth, or happiness, but there's way more to being blessed than those things. I'd like to look at what it means to be blessed today using the context of Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, a really cool psalm. And the first word of that psalm is, big surprise, blessed. A little background on the psalms, a little reminder. First of all, you might recall that there's 150 different psalms in that section that we call the Psalter, often also called the prayer book of the Bible. It's a fantastic section of scripture that can be used in our prayer life. And there are different categories of psalms and different psalms written by different authors. Now, if I were to ask you who wrote the psalms, chances are you'd probably say, well, King David. And that's partially true because King David wrote about 74 of the Psalms in the Bible, but there's also a couple other people who wrote the Psalms, including a group called the Levites. You might recall that the Levites were that tribe of Israel that was in charge of the worship and the music. And the Levites wrote about 24 different Psalms. Believe it or not, Solomon, our friend Solomon, wrote at least two Psalms. Moses wrote at least one Psalm. And then various other people wrote all these different psalms. And they're beautiful. They have all kinds of different emotions, and they can also be put into categories. Some of the psalms are what we call messianic, referring to the Messiah, and such as Psalm 22, which Jesus quotes from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So there's messianic psalms. There's teaching psalms that speak about doctrine, teaching. There are psalms of comfort. There are also psalms of petition, crying out to the Lord, and there's also psalms of thanksgiving. All kinds of different songs. I encourage you, if you haven't looked at the Psalms for a while, to go check them out. They're really good. Psalm 1 today would fall under the category of a teaching psalm. And also, I think it sets the tone for the rest of the book of Psalms as well. Because at the heart of this psalm, it speaks about the appreciation of God's word. Now, with that background in mind, I'd like to walk through the psalm with you today, and as we learn more about what it means to be blessed. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So, at the beginning here, the psalmist begins describing what it means to be blessed by telling you what is not. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And those words are significant. There's a bit of a progression. You're walking along and you meet someone, maybe having a little bit of a chat, and then you're standing there with them. You're lingering a little longer, and then you're sitting with them. You're dwelling with them as a constant companion, and that has implications. Where are we receiving our influences as we go through this life? So Unfortunately, what can happen is as we spend time with certain people, we can begin to receive bad advice, negative influences, and maybe you've experienced that. In the Old Testament, you can see a couple of examples of people that received bad advice and it didn't go well for them. One individual was a man by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was, and some of you are chuckling already because you know the story, Rehoboam was King Solomon's son. And Rehoboam was a hotshot. He thought he knew everything. And he's starting out, he wants to be a good king. And he asks the advice of the older people, I think maybe just to humor them. But he asked the advice of the older people and he said, you know, as I'm reigning upon the throne, what should I do? And they gave him some advice. They said, you know what? You should go easy on the people. You should be nice to them. Well, he didn't like that advice. So he went off to his young punk friends. And his young punk friend says, you know what? You should lay down the law. An iron fist. Your father Solomon, he was tough on the people. You should be even tougher. Well, he liked that idea. But as you see the story play out, it did not go well for Rehoboam. Another king, King Ahaziah. It says in 2 Chronicles 22, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as the house of Ahab had done, for after the death of his father, there were his counselors. They were his counselors to his undoing. So have you had the experience of hanging out with someone who had some advice for you and then the advice didn't go so well? I think at some point or another we have experienced that. You think about the different situations that we might find ourselves in, and you might be regretting that time when you listened to that bad advice. But blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? Or stand in the way of sinners. That word stand in the Hebrew, amad, is to stand or to endure. So now we have a sense where you're lingering a little more. This isn't just a passing advice. This is where you're sort of there with that person. You're hanging out with people. And it makes me now think of that word that we often use when we talk about young people, that word peer pressure. Peer pressure. None of you ever have faced peer pressure, right? Of course we have. But you see, peer pressure, though it can affect our young people, can also affect us, no matter what age we are. As we're spending time with a certain group of people or gaining ideas from certain individuals, we can allow that to be part of our mindset. And as we have this in our mindset, that can lead to us doing behaviors, trying to fit in with other people, because that's what those people are doing, and so I'm going to do that also. But we realize how silly that can be, especially when we hear about people that are involved with some kind of crime and they didn't even directly commit the crime. We hear about those situations where there's an individual who's caught along with the rest of the group because they're spending time hanging out with that group, and now their life is a mess. Now they're facing jail time, they're facing struggles because they were hanging out with a certain group of people. But blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. And that word for sitting, yasab, can mean sitting or abiding. You're dwelling now with these individuals. The Proverbs talk about the scoffer. Proverbs 21:24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Isaiah 29:20, for the ruthless shall come to nothing and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Proverbs 22:10, drive out a scoffer and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. So I believe part of what it means to be blessed is to avoid certain influences. And what influences are we allowing into our life or the lives of our children? Now, here's a scenario for you. Imagine that you had an individual who came into your house and you let this person in. And this person began to sit there, dwell in your living room, and start chatting with you, and your children are there. And then all of a sudden, this person dwelling in your living room starts swearing over and over again, starts cussing. And then this person starts telling dirty jokes. This person starts being lewd and crude and rude. How long do you think you'd allow that person to stay in your house? I think most of them would say, well, duh, we'd tell them to leave and we'd show them the door right away. And yet, you know what's interesting? In a lot of American households, possibly some of ours as well, is there's this guest that's been allowed to dwell in the living room or certain other places and is allowed to be lewd, crude, and rude, to tell dirty jokes, to make fun of God's gift of marriage, to tell our children that God is just a joke. What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about the television. That is an influence that has been allowed into our lives that is lewd, crude, and rude, or it can be. Granted, there are ways of using the television which can be good too. But how often do we have the influence of media coming into our lives? And how might that affect us if we're spending sometimes hours a day with the television? How might that affect us or our children? That's something for us to consider. And now with the internet, there are so many influences, so many different YouTube channels. There's all kinds of influences such as Twitter and Instagram constantly feeding our brain with messages. But what are these messages? Are they wholesome? Are they good? Are they pointing us towards our Lord? Or are they defaming the Lord? Are they leading us down a different path? The path of scoffers, the path of wicked, the path of unrighteousness. I think it's something for us to consider. And how about those Facebook feeds, or that there are these discussions where people are getting into debates about politics or debates about other things, and maybe you've had the experience of being sucked into some kind of debate, an online forum or discussion, and people are getting nasty with one another, and it's being unfruitful. But perhaps we've lingered and looked at these online debates. Or maybe it's the feeds after the news articles, after you see the online news articles and people are squabbling and making different comments. And how often can we get sucked into those and waste a bunch of time feeding on that instead of other influences? God, have mercy upon us. In a commentary I read, there's this quote that really stuck out for me. Quote, Christians must not derive their values and goals from the sinful standards of the world. Whatever shapes our thinking will soon shape our actions. Whatever shapes our thinking will soon shape our actions. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Something for us to consider, and perhaps repent. The psalm continues. So it talked about the negative and what not to do. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Often when we hear the word law, we think of, oh, that means the Ten Commandments. Well, the word law in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word is Torah, which is instruction, which could mean, yes, the Ten Commandments, but also more of Scripture, the counsel of Scripture, which speaks not only of the desires of what is pleasing to God, but also the beautiful, wonderful grace of our God and how he is merciful. In Bible study, as we continue to look through Genesis, we continue to see some really messed up lives, and yet God's faithfulness in the midst of these messed up lives and how he weaves his perfect plan amidst imperfect people. And the psalm says, blessed, but his delight is in the Torah, the instruction of the Lord, and upon the Torah he meditates day and night. Again, from this commentary that I was reading, quote, Christians cannot expect to resist the values of the unbelieving world if they devote 1 hour of the week to meditating on God's word, and the other 167 hours to providing the needs of their bodies and enjoying worldly entertainment. I hope it's not the case for us that we come to church for an hour, oh, maybe an hour, 20 minutes, and then we go about the rest of our week and just leave the Bible on the shelf. Hopefully that's not happening, but I think it could happen if we get out of the habit. Instead, though, it talks about meditating upon God's word. Now, what does that word meditate mean? Now, in our culture, when we think about meditate, maybe you get this image of a bunch of people in the room going, doing yoga or something. No, we're not talking about that type of meditating. What we mean by meditating, as the Hebrew word is, means to have a sense of constancy, an oftenness, uttering, musing, meditating, or maybe even chewing. You know, our parents did tell us to chew our food. And what happens when you chew your food? You're ingesting the flavors. You're biting into it. You're digesting it so that when it goes down, it is nourishing to you. So what does it look like? What does it mean to meditate upon God's word? Well, I'm sure there's a number of different ways. But here's a couple ideas. What about at the beginning of the day, finding a verse of scripture? Maybe it's from a psalm. Maybe it's from a Bible app that you have that gives you a verse of the day. And yes, there are those applications out there. And maybe you begin to think about those words and start repeating them as you're getting ready for the day. And maybe those words begin to permeate into you throughout the day. I had this experience recently, and it was a real blessing to me. I was feeling stressed not too long ago about some things. And this verse that was on my phone came, I looked at that verse again on my phone, and I began literally speaking it to myself over and over again, and the Lord used that verse, and it was powerful. The verse was from 1 John chapter 2:17. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. It was such a reminder to chill out. There's all kinds of stresses in the world, but at the end of the day, all the desires of the world, all this is going to pass away. But we, in Christ, have eternal life, and we look forward to what is to come. We have an end game in mind. Along the way, we're going to see different wonderful things in our life. We're going to experience different wonderful things. But along the way, what is our goal? What is the prize which Christ has won for us? And I'll tell you, meditating upon God's word that day was a real blessing. So ask the Lord this week, perhaps, Lord, show me ways to meditate upon your word. Lord, give me insights into how to chew upon your word, that the word becomes the thing prominent in my heart and mind as I go throughout the day. Because what is going to go through your mind? What will go through your mind? It could be a bunch of self-talk that is doubtful and full of worry and fear. Or perhaps it will be a Bible verse that will stay with you throughout the day and serve as a blessing, not only for you, but maybe for someone else who needs an encouraging word of scripture. Psalm 1 continues and gives a beautiful picture then of what it looks like to be blessed. Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 speaks about the person. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Can you picture that in your mind? This tree by the water? The other day, I was at one of the parks in Monmouth, and there's this stream that goes through the park with a bridge that goes over the park. I think it's called Gentle Woods Park. It's where we had our church picnics a while back. And Gentle Woods Park, you can picture it now, has a bunch of trees right there by the water's edge. And think about how wonderful it is for those trees that are right next to that source of water. Because even in the difficult times, even in the droughts, even when there is heat all around, that tree, as it's connected to the waters, its roots are there by the water, is going to receive nourishment. Its leaves then can stay green no matter what happens around it. And it says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. And notice this, though, the word is planted. And as I was doing more research into this psalm, I found out that that word planted, or satal in the Hebrew, could mean transplanted. It's a sense of there's a purposeful moving of this tree next to the streams of water. I love that image because that's what God does for you and for me. It's by His grace and mercy that He takes you, places you, and puts you in a good place where you can receive nourishment. It makes me think of the waters of baptism and the Holy Spirit. You'll see in John 4, Jesus talks about living water, and it connects that with the Holy Spirit. And think about this. As you have been brought into God's family, baptized into Christ, you are placed into a good land next to the streams of living water. And you are receiving the nourishment from your loving Heavenly Father, from the gardener who is there tending you as that wonderful tree next to the living water. I love our Old Testament lesson, how it contrasts the two, the bush in the desert and the streams. I want to read that for you. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Ah, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Isn't that an amazing picture? As you're going through your day this week, think about this image. Think about what God has done for you. And we know this is all through the gracious love of our Savior Jesus, who is there for you. Think about then who you are as this tree planted by streams of water. And you know what's neat about this? You know what's neat is as a tree planted by streams of water, you're going to bear fruit. Maybe you've been concerned about bearing fruit, about serving the Lord. You said, Lord, I want to serve you. God, I really want to serve you. And I'm frustrated because maybe I haven't served you like I wanted to. Well, think about this. As you are rooted in God's word, as you are receiving nourishment from the Lord God, you will produce fruit. If you go past an orchard, how many of you have heard fruit trees struggling to produce fruit? How many of them are just straining to produce fruit? Well, you won't find that because fruit trees don't strain to produce fruit. They produce because they are nourished and the fruit happens. The fruit happens. So relax. Spend time in God's word. Allow Him to nourish you. And guess what? You will produce fruit. And what is that fruit? In the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God will allow you and prepare you by His grace to do, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, those good works which God has already prepared in advance for you to do. And we don't need to fear, even as the world becomes seemingly darker. We see a lot of scary stuff, a lot of uncertainty in different places. Even in our own country, sometimes it seems a little topsy-turvy. But guess what? As you are in Christ, you will remain green. Not so with the wicked. Those that reject the wonderful gifts of God, they will be like the chaff that the wind drives away, as we heard about in Sunday school this morning, that the wicked will just blow away in the wind. But you will remain. Not because of your own strength, not because of you, but rather because of your Savior Jesus, who has you rooted. So let us stay rooted in the Lord. Let us stay rooted in God's word. And I encourage you, be in God's word, for this will be a blessing for you, but also for your friends and your family, for we influence one another. And remember this, as you read Psalm 1 or other Psalms, Psalm 1 ultimately, I want to point this out, Psalm 1 ultimately is fulfilled by our Savior Jesus. For He is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the Torah. So rejoice as you have God's word given to you and Jesus, the word made flesh. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.